Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Ah, the mouse doesn't cooperate. I can't move the mouse. I want to close that thing. Okay. We're reading for text 30 this short one sentence Sarvasamvadani. Anyway, it's in file 14 if you want to bother to open it. Bhakti Yogena iti adi shonakam prati Nidharayati ti chunika vakyasyan vayat evam utaratrapi gyayam. From the syntax of the explanatory statement given by Sri Jiva at the beginning of Anuchade 30, we understand that the verses beginning Bhakti Yogena specify the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that they do so for Shonaka. In other words, it was spoken to Shonaka. So also do the rest of the citations in the Anuchade. Is that true? Could someone quickly look at the Anuchade? Is the rest of it addressed to Shonaka? Well, okay, let me just make a question mark. True? Da. Okay. In other words, so also would mean, what should mean, is that, Krishna, you don't have any highlighting here. Well, it's just not showing up on the toolbar. That's okay. There it is. Okay, I got it. I can say I had to pull it down. Two things. The verses beginning Bhakti Yogena talk about the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they're addressed to Shonaka. Now, this last sentence I translated, so also do the rest of the citations of the Anuchade, which would mean they're also specifying the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they're also addressed to Shonaka. I don't know if that's true. I'll check that. Leave it for now. Maybe that sentence actually means something else. I'll figure it out. Sorry about the loose ends here. Commentary. As the introductory words of Anuchade 30 inform us, the verse cited there, beginning with Bhakti Yogena, are the words in which Suta Goswami briefly described to Shonaka the same purport of Srimad Bhagavatam indicated by the glorification of Shukadeva at the end of the 12th canto. The purport is that pure devotion to the Supreme Lord Krishna is the best sadhana for destroying all miseries and awakening in the heart the full satisfaction of pure love for the Lord. The later citations in this Anuchade say the same thing. Okay. That's it. Any questions about that? No. And then we go back and we look at text 31. I have to make a little change here. Ready for 31? Okay. Text 31. Actually, we're still discussing these verses, even into the next Anuchade. Yes? Yes. We have proven that Bhagavatam should be our prime authority. We have discussed how we're going, our method. Jiva Goswami has presented what his methodology of presenting the Bhagavatam is going to be. Now he wants to establish what is basically a rough idea of what is the purport, what is the Bhagavatam about. He started by discussing the attitude of the speaker, Shukadev. And now he's describing Vyasadeva, going one step back, further back to Shukadeva's guru, Vyas, and how he conceived of the Bhagavatam in his meditation, and what he saw, which is another indication of what the Bhagavatam's about, what Vyasadeva meditated on. That's what we're discussing now. Vyasadeva's meditation on the basis of which he compiled the Bhagavatam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak panhite male apashat purusham purnam or purvam. Those verses. Okay, now Anuchet 31. Purvam iti pate purvam ehaham. I'm sorry. Purvam evaham ihasam iti tat purushasya purushatvam iti Shrauta nirvachana vishesha puraskarena sa eva eva ochyate. Tamapashyat. Shri Vedavyasa iti swarupta shakti mandam evet yetat swayam eva labdam. Purnam chandram apashyat ityukte kanti mandam apashyat iti labhyate. Translation, if we choose the alternate reading Purvam instead of Purnam in Bhagavatam 2.3.10. 2.3.10. Yajaja Purusham Padam or Purvam. I don't see how Purvam fits the meter, but okay. The word still refers to the same Supreme Lord as shown by the specific usage of Shruti scripture in the passage. I alone was present in the beginning. Purvam. Now that is, let's see. We don't know. I can't identify where in Shruti that those exact words are said. Anyway, apparently the Supreme Lord is talking and he's calling himself Purvam. Yes. Right, an alternate reading says Purvam.
But it's not 2.3.10.
No, because it quotes 2.3.10 to support the statement.
Yeah, okay, this 30, what we're referring to now is not the main verse, but this verse that was quoted on the side, 2.3.10. Okay, there's some statement somewhere, I alone was present in the beginning, Purvam. And also, this is why the Purusha is called Purusha. Oh, I see. I put these together as one statement. Well, does 280 have a reference? SC, no, we don't know where that's from either. This is a little doubtful. Is it really one passage or two different passages? I can't identify either one. Tat Purushasya Purushatvam. Anyway, I have it translated as one statement. I alone was present in the beginning. That's the Lord talking. And then the comment, this is why the Purusha is called Purusha. Okay, that's a good reason to call the Purusha, because he was there before everybody else. And therefore he's Purvam. Makes good sense. I'm just not sure whether it's one statement or two. Continuing. When it is said that Sri Vedavyasa saw the Lord, it is understood he saw the Lord along with his internal energy. Just as when we say that someone saw the moon, we understand that the person saw the moon along with its effulgence. Can anybody see the moon without its effulgence? not by any ordinary sense. Okay, so if you see the Supreme Lord, you're going to be seeing him with his internal energies. What are you going to see if you don't see the internal energies? You're not going to see his body because that's a manifestation of his internal energy. What are you going to see? You know, subatomic particles? What are you going to see? Yes. Typos. Mistakes, you mean?
Yes, in the previous paragraph?
Previous, you mean back in 30?
Yeah, just right at the last paragraph there.
Yes? Yeah, in the commentary, yes.
It said Vidvan Chakri 146.
It's Vidvams?
Yeah, it's Vidvansh Chakri, and it's 176.
Got it. It's 176. Well, that's pretty bad. Okay. I have to write this down, and I can't use this mouse very easily. Vidvamsh. Sunday change. What's the rule? Oh, God. Okay. Okay, it says. Okay, I'm working on it. Wait a minute. 176, right? And one way to edit is just assume nobody's going to check it anyway, but that's not very good. As long as we catch these things, it's no crime if we can fix it before it's published. Okay. 2310. What else? Okay. Not much of it. Was there more? Okay. Hey, now we're perfect. No mistakes. Prabhupada told BBT disciples that there's one mistake in my book, it's ruined. Okay, we move on. 31.2. Atta Eva. There should be a space after Atta Eva. Atta Eva. Twamadya Purushak Sakshad Ishvarak Prakritik Prada Mayam Vyudasya Chichaktya Kaivalye stita atmani iti uktam. Ata eva mayam cha tad apashrayam. Ityanena tasmin apa apakrishta ashrayo yasya nilya stita tvad. Iti maya ya nat tat svarupa bhuta tvam. Ityapi labhyate. Vakshiyate cha. Maya parait yabimuke chavilajamana iti. Translation, therefore it is said, you are the original personality of Godhead, who expand yourself all over the creations and are transcendental to the material energy. You have cast away the effects of the material energy by dint of your spiritual potency. You are always situated in eternal bliss and transcendental knowledge. And so the words, along with his external energy, which was under his subordinate shelter, mayam cha tadapashrayam, imply that under his shelter, maya has an inferior role. Since she runs away from him, keeping herself at a distance, she is not his internal energy. Is the word run away? What's the verb there? Paraiti, okay. This is stated later in the Bhagavatam. Maya, feeling ashamed, flees the Lord's direct presence. That's where the word paraiti is. But where in the sentences before that? Niliya, okay. Well, nili means to hide, not to run away. Okay, I'm going to question that. You know, my sense, I say she runs away from him, but Jiva Goswami just said Niliya. That's not really run away, that's hide away. Hold on a second. Okay, commentary. Okay, I'll read it again. Second paragraph. And so the words, quote, along with his... I didn't read the translation at all? Stopped, okay. Continuing in second paragraph. And so the words, quote, along with his external energy, which was under his subordinate shelter, mayam cha tadapashrayam, imply that under his shelter, Maya has an inferior role. She runs away from him, keeping herself at a distance. Since she does that, she's not his internal energy. This is stated later in the Bhagavatam. Maya, feeling ashamed, flees the Lord's direct presence. Commentary. Suta Goswami described Vyasadeva as seeing in trance the Supreme Lord along with his internal and external energies. The prayer beginning, "You are the original personality of Godhead," which was spoken by Arjuna, reflects this by saying that the Supreme Lord shows no interest in his external energy, but is always consorting with his internal energy. Sutta also mentions the inferior position of the material energy. Okay, here's a question for the editor's aptitude test. See how good you are as a candidate for being an editor. At this point, a change has been made. Something has been introduced in the formatting that was never done before up to now. Can you identify what it is? What's different about the way this paragraph is set up? Yeah? What has been done here that hasn't been done before? Anything look different? Okay, put on your thinking caps. An editor has to be looking out for everything. Things that a reader is not supposed to even pay attention to, but the editor has to notice. Anybody have an idea? Yes, Domino?
Well, you don't quote the number of the verses and you directly say a Sukhadeva Goswami speaking to Vyasadeva.
I didn't quote the verses, and I haven't done that when we've already identified the verse. If I refer to the verse again in the next paragraph or the next paragraph after that, I don't give the number again. Well, okay, you know, it's identified because it's identified in the translation. There's a footnote attached to the translation. So that's why, because it was already identified by the time we get to the commentary. That's not it. It's a technical thing, but it'd be good if you could notice it. Yes? Sorry, Gepra? Where? Quote from the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, I'm sorry.
In the commentary, we have this quote, the prayer beginning, you are the original personality of Godhead. We don't have quote.
I'm sorry, where is there a quote that is
we don't have we don't have reference to this. We don't have reference to this quote from which there.
You are the original personality of Godhead?
Yeah.
No, but that is the same verse that was that's quoted in the translation, and it was referenced in the translation by a footnote. Matsya Prabhu knows something else. Yes?
I think VBT used to do Vyasadeva with a small V.
No! It's still his name. It's a title. It should be capital.
Okay.
No, it's never lowercase.
Really?
It may be lowercase he, because he's supposed to be a Shakti Tattva, a Shakti Vaishavatar. The pronoun he is lowercase.
And the word original is always lower.
Yes?
You always do original with lowercase also? Original personality, you got it?
Oh, yeah. As far as English words capitalized, we have a very short list of, like, Supreme Lord. We don't get carried away with capitalizing English words. Did you see something else, Dhammadhar? No, Dhammadhar probably has seen something.
The last time you mentioned sutta, you just say sutta?
No, that's we're that's pretty okay. Free about that. There's no rule about that. Okay, one more guess. One more guess. Last guess. Yes, sir. The prayer beginning?
The prayer beginning.
Well, okay, you're saying it. Well, the prayer does say it because Arjuna said the prayer. Okay. What's the problem?
But the actual prayer, it seems like. Because I thought that if you said Arjuna was saying something, then. Yeah. But it's the prayer that Arjuna said is saying something.
Oh, but
so it's actually the prayer that's saying something, not. The prayer that was spoken by Arjuna is saying.
Well, that's what I say. I say the prayer reflects this by saying. But it's the same thing. If Arjuna's saying the prayer, then the prayer he's saying it and the prayer is saying it, both of them.
Right.
Prabhupada uses it. Well, consort as a verb is less common, but it's okay. Okay. No more guesses. Okay, one more.
I don't know. I think it's the verse itself speaks about external energy, but we introduce it that he so. Along with internal energy.
Oh, but the verse, first of all, says he saw the external energy. That's obvious. The verse says that. It's implied he also saw the internal energy. So the result is he saw both. Okay, here it is. What's new here is that up to now, we've been inserting commentaries only after the whole Anuchet. This is the first time that we've given a commentary on part of an Anuchet. You noticed that, but you didn't think it was significant. But, you know, the reader shouldn't care about that. No, it's not a different... This is 31.2. It's got its own... Wait a minute. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, because it goes on to 31.3. We're not done with the Anujade yet. So, an editor should notice such a thing. Suppose, you know, you weren't supposed to do that, that the rule was we're only going to have and a commentary at the end of the Anuchet, the editor has to be is responsible to keep an eye out for that stuff. There is a 33.3. Yeah, there is going to be another commentary after 31.3. That's our choice. We decide actually starting with the next Sandarbha, I give a short commentary after almost every single part of an Anuchet, because it gets more complicated. This is the first point where we introduce this innovation. It's not wrong. As long as we know what we're doing and we do what we intend to do, there's no rule that we can't do this. But we shouldn't do it accidentally. And therefore, the editor has to keep an eye out what's going on so that things that aren't supposed to go on don't happen. So here where the explanation starts getting a little lengthy and complicated, this is the first time I introduced splitting up. First of all, splitting up the Anuchets is not there in Jiva Goswami's original. We did that following the example of Kushikrata Prabhu, but not splitting up exactly in the same places that he did, and now writing a separate commentary for a separate part of an Anucheda, that's something that's the first time happened here. Okay? Where did we stop reading? Did we read the commentary? Okay. Then we're on 31.3. No, let's go on to 31.3 and then open up for discussion. Hold on a second. I can't. Page up is here. That's 31.3. Okay. Yes. Okay, but if it... Is it... Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. But if it's something... I can wait till we do 31.3. Maybe I should. Yeah. Okay. Sarupa shaktir iyam atraiva vyakti bhavishyati. Anarto pasamam sakshad bhakti yoga madhoksaje. Ityanena atma ramas cha. Ityanena cha. Purvatra hi bhakti yoga parbhavaha kalu asau mayabi bhavikataya sarupa shakti vritti twainaiva gamyate. Padatra che te guna brahmanandasya pyupari charataya surupa shakte padamavrititam eva arhantiti. Maya dishtatri purushas tu tad amshatvena brahma cha tadiya nirvishesh avirbhavatvena tad antar bhavin apritang drishtatvat pritang nokte itigeyam. Tadetat cha dvitiya sandarbhayo sushtu pratipatsyate atotra purvavad eva sambandhi tattvam nirdharitam. Translation: the internal energy of the Lord is revealed later in the passage describing Vyasadeva's trance. In the verse, the material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. And this one, all different varieties of Atma Ramas. From the first of these texts, we understand that the influence of devotional service is a function of the Lord's internal energy, because devotional service overcomes the power of illusion. In the second, the qualities of the Lord prove themselves, the highest functions of his internal energy, because they are superior even to the bliss of Brahman. The Purusha and Brahman are not separately mentioned in the description of Sri Vyasadeva's trance, because both are included in the personality of Godhead. The Purusha, as the predominator of Maya, is a partial representation of the Supreme Lord, whereas Brahman is the manifestation of his formless, impersonal aspect. The second and third sandarbhas fully elucidate this point. Thus we have ascertained, as before in text 29.3, the tattva to which this sandarbha is connected. Sambandha. Prayojana, abhideya. Sambandha means the connection between the thing that needs to be described and the words that try to describe it. So that's one of the anubandha chatushtayas, yeah. One of the necessary requirements of justifying the writing of the book, that your words can actually describe adequately the topic. Now, I'm saying here, Jiva Goswami is saying here the Purusha is not separately mentioned. Actually, the word Purusha was used. Apashat Purusham Purnam. But Purusha there means Bhagawan. Bhagawan is mentioned, and he's called Purusha. But the Purusha as the predominator of Maya, the Supersoul, is not separately mentioned. Supersoul and Brahman are not separately mentioned. The description of Vyasa's trance is all about Bhagawan, not explicitly about Paramatma and Brahman. And why not? Because they're both included in Bhagawan. There's no need to mention them separately. Yes?
Just got a question, some editorial stuff. In the last paragraph of this translation, a few words aren't italics? Do we don't have to do like Maya and Tattva and Sandhava?
You mean the translation, whether those words should be in italics?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the standard is we don't use, at least the current BBT standard is we don't use bold italics.
Oh, really?
And so what we're doing in the Sandarbhas, what we do in the Bhavatam, if you read it, if you look at it, is although there was a brief period where we were using bold italics, but that got ruled out again.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was only a brief period of a few months when the BBT was publishing any bold italics. For the rest of the history of the BBT, we don't allow it. And you just use in the translations regular bold, no italics.
Okay.
Now in Sandarbhas, we sometimes run into trouble. Because we've got so many Sanskrit terms and, you know, it's so complicated. So what we do, if we refer, in, this is a new thing for the Sandarbhas, if we refer to the meaning of the word, where in English you would put it in quotes, the word such and such means such and such, you put it in quotes, then we use quote marks in regular bold. We don't put it, in Sanskrit words, the standard is, because they're italicized for the reason that they're foreign, there's no need to set them off in quote marks because they're already in italics. So we don't put a word, even if I say the word such and such means, we don't put the italic word also in quote marks. That's BBT standard. We just leave it italics and that's enough setting it off. But in the translations where we're using all bold, there we're going to put the quote marks around, like the word Maya means such and such. Then we'll put it in quotes. Or if the word is so confusing, like it, there's an English word spelled just like it, and without something setting it off, we'd be confused. We don't use italics. If we have to, we put quotes around it in the all bold paragraphs, which are the translations.
If these same words appeared in the commentary...
In the commentary, then Maya would be lowercase italics and no quote... Because it's italics, no quote marks about it. Even if you say the word Maya means this. I never really liked the idea of making Maya lowercase. It wasn't my idea. Now the standard is if Maya is being referred to as a person, capital. If she's not being referred to as a person, it's lowercase. In my opinion, I think it should be uppercase, especially because it's a fine line. When is she a person? When isn't she not a person? It's the same Maya. But anyway, this is the standard. The English editors had their way on this one.
Right.
Yeah.
I had another small thing about in the first paragraph, the last line of the first paragraph of the translation.
I got it, yes. In the second, the qualities of the Lord?
No, the first paragraph and this one.
Oh, boy. I went down instead of up. Hold on a second. And this one. All varieties of Atma Ramascha. Yeah. That's Prabhupada's translation.
Right. I was just wondering about the end, this one. Like, we have anena and iti anena cha. So, like, the first, it says in the verse, and then it says, and this one. It's like, it seems like it should be in the verse and in this verse, kind of thing.
I'll ask, but Jayadwaita Maharaj is sort of an expert on what you can get away with in what you call ellipsis or abbreviating, you know, leaving things out. He's a little radical, but he knows what he's doing about leaving things out. But maybe he made a mistake there. I'll just question it.
Right.
I think you can get away with that.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes ellipsis sounds...
Yeah. If it sounds confusing, it might be wrong. That's the test. I'm making a question, and I'll ask right away to Raj. He's going to be here in person on the 26th. And probably stay till the beginning of December, so I can ask him when he's here. And if you have any questions for him, he'll be here. Okay, now we finished the paragraph commentary. Srila Jiva Goswami was aware that in some manuscripts of Srimad Bhagavatam, text 2310 reads Yajeta Purusham Purvam instead of Yajeta Purusham Param. This variant refers to the same personality of Godhead. In other words, the complete person, Purusha Purnam, the supreme person, Purusham Param, and the primeval person, Purusham Purvam, are the same. Sri Jiva substantiates this equivalence with two related statements from Shruti. In the first,
Uh-oh. Now in the commentary I say it's two different statements. In the translation I put it as one statement. Okay. Two related statements from the Shruti. In the first, the personality of Godhead declares that he was alone was present before the creation of this universe. The second, building on the first, comments that the Lord's existence prior to everything else distinguishes him as the Supreme Person. But if you look at the translation, it's put together into one statement. I'm going to make a note. In yes, you have a comment on that? What's it, bro? Yeah, do you have it? Oh, stretching, okay. Okay, we're almost ready to move. Hold on a second. If you have a question, maybe you can wait till the end of the commentary, unless it's a mistake. No. Akamo savakamo va moksha kamo dharati tivena bhati yogena yajita purusham param.
You pointed out previously that that's in a BBT version. But Jiva Goswami, when he originally quotes that verse, he quotes it yajati purusham purnam.
You sure? I think that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, where? Can you find it?
In text 30. I mean, Anushet 30.
Anushet 30?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Sorry, this is going slow. Which... must by all means worship the Supreme Person? Purnam. Oh, boy. Okay. I'll make a note. What was that? That was 30? 30 what paragraph? Which part? Sorry? 30 point what? No, it's okay. I'll find it later. Can I continue? Okay. That's not your fault. According to Sridhar Swami's explanation, cited in text 30.3, the name Purusha can refer to the personality of Godhead in more ways than one. Hare Krishna. I didn't read something before that. Okay, I didn't finish the paragraph. Is that? Okay. Sri Jiva substantiates this equivalence with two related statements from Shruti. In the first, the personality of Godhead declares that he alone was present before the creation of this universe. The second, building upon the first, comments that the Lord's existence prior to everything else distinguishes him as a supreme person.
Furthermore, his being alone, so-called alone, does not contradict the eternal existence of his spiritual kingdom, inhabited by his countless companions and servants. It simply denies the existence of anything material in the dormant period between creations. According to Sridhar Swami's explanation cited in text 30.3, the name Purusha can refer to the personality of Godhead in more ways than one. In one sense, the Purusha is the Godhead in his original fullness, as he is in the spiritual world. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the original person, the original Purusha. The Purusha is also Lord Govinda's specific expansion as the creator of this world. In fact, there are three Purusha expansions of the Supreme Lord. Karana Duk Shai Vishnu, Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, and Shirodak Shai Vishnu. The creators who lie respectively in the causal ocean, in the embryonic ocean of the universal egg, and in the milk ocean. The first Purusha lying on the serpent bed of Anantashesh within the region between the spiritual and material realms initiates the generation of the material world by merely glancing once at Maya, his personal external energy. From his body emanate the egg-like shells of innumerable universes. Then he expands himself again into each of these universes to lie down as the second Purusha. When all forms of life are sent forth into the creation, the Lord becomes the third Purusha, entering along with all the living souls into their material bodies. In this way, the Supreme Person, as the Purusha, expands himself to become the Paramatma, or Supersoul. Garbhodakashayi Vishnu is the Supersoul of the total universe, Samashti Paramatma, and Shirodakashayi Vishnu is the Supersoul of each individual soul, Vyashti Paramatma. Srila Radha Mohan Goswami, do you remember any mention of him? He wrote the other commentary. Lived, I don't know, 17th century. And there's some controversy that there seems to be sometime, or some people think there's disagreement between him and Baladeva Dibhushan. But actually, it probably wasn't intentional. It's just other people who don't like Baladeva Dibhushan are taking advantage of there being a different commentary. Anyway, Srila Radha Mohan Goswami points out that lexicographers, you know what a lexicographer is? Anybody not know what a lexicographer is? It's somebody who makes dictionaries. A lexicon is a dictionary. Lexicographers have explained the derivation of the word Purusha in similar terms. One etymology traces Purusha to Pura Asit. He existed previously, Pura, long time ago. And another to Puri, Sharire Shete. He sits down in the Pur, the material body. Narada Muni speaks in a similar way in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.14. Puranyane Nashrishtani Nvittiryagvishi Devataha Shete Jivena Rupena Purusheshu Pureshu Purusho Hyasau. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created many residential places, puras, like the bodies of the human beings, animals, birds, saints, and demigods. In all of these innumerable bodily forms, the Lord as Paramatma resides, Shete, with the living beings. Thus he is known as Hare Krishna, I lost the page. Thus he is known as something here. What's he known as? The Purusha Avatar. The impersonal conception of the Supreme is but a partial realization held by those who cannot understand him as a person, the possessor of creative energies. Two primary energies of the Supreme are discussed in this Anuchet: his internal Swarupa Shakti and his external Maya. The Lord's Swarupa Shakti is in essence his female counterpart, the source of his personal pleasure. She provides him the satisfaction of loving reciprocations with herself in her original form of Srimati Radharani. She satisfies him through her unlimited spiritual expansions that join each of the expanded forms of Godhead, and she satisfies him with the liberated jivas through their devotional service. When Mahavishnu lies down to create the material world in his mystic sleep, Yoga Nidra, within himself he is actually enjoying his internal pleasure potency. Atmana Ramaya Reme Chaktakalam Sushikshaya. As he intends to send forth his separated energy, he continues to enjoy with his internal consort. That's Brahma Samhita. Maya is the personal energy of the Lord, an expansion of Srimati Radharani, but Maya's function is inferior. She creates and rules the world of illusion, where the personality of Godhead seems absent. Because of her association with the contaminated, rebellious souls, the Lord makes no contact with her after his initial glance. That's interesting. It's not that there's something wrong with her, but she's associated with the rebellious souls. So therefore, after that starts, he doesn't associate with her anymore. And she keeps herself out of his sight. To explain the difference between the internal and external energies of the Supreme, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan offers an analogy. The internal energy is like the emperor's favorite queen. The external energy is like a menial maidservant who always stays outside his quarters. Okay, now we are open for questions, but the next Anuchet doesn't have a heading. It should say text 32. Let me add that. Okay, any questions about the commentary or anything about 31 at all? Yes.
So speaking about Bhakti Yogena Manasi, there's a big elaboration on this. Bhakti Yogena Manasi, that the Lord saw his internal energy, but just says Mayam.
Where does it say internal energy? Oh, Bhakti Yogena. Where does it say he saw his internal energy?
That's why I'm asking, is that this...
No, what we discussed, what Yoga Swami pointed out, is that it's implied. It's not said, but it's implied. Because it's like if you saw the moon, you must have seen its effulgence also.
Okay. But what's said is...
Because they're inseparable.
But in that verse...
It said he saw the external energy, material energy.
That's what the mayam...
Maya is the external energy.
Okay.
Yeah, the one who bewilders living entities. That's what's described explicitly. How he Avyasa saw the Maya external energy. Okay. Sorry, Kipper.
Maybe I've missed. From where did we take that she saw also internal energy? Not
Yuga Goswami discusses that after quoting the verse. I think 31.2, he's discussing that.
But what is the proof of this? What does he quote?
We have to go back and look at it again. Let's see. Rather than my guessing, let's see what he says. What did he say? This scrolling is very slow in this machine. Oh. I'm looking. It's back in 30?
No, it's on the chat that we saw today.
The fact that he also saw it. That he also saw the internal energy. The commentary.
You have it in your commentary.
No, it's in the first.
Are you sure it's not back in 30 also?
It's 31.1. When it is said
It's understood he saw the Lord along with his internal energy. Just as when we say that someone saw the moon. Well, that's all the Jiva Goswami says. That how can, you know, it's just like saying somebody saw the moon. He must have seen the moon along with its effulgence. You can't see the moon without its effulgence. So you can't, like, the argument is simply that you can't, if you're going to see the Supreme Lord, you must see its internal energy, his internal energy also. You can't see him without his internal energy. Everything that's manifest about him is being manifested by the internal energy. So if you see him, you're seeing his internal energy. That's the argument, even though it's not said. Yeah.
But then he saw separate, the external energy, as separate from him.
Yes, and the reason why he speaks about that is that that's relevant to the problem of the living entities. That's relevant to why he had to write the Bhagavatam. If the Lord is there with his internal energy, fine. There's no need to write a Bhagavatam. Everybody sees the internal energy. But if the external energy is involved, then you got problems and you need to write the Bhagavatam to solve the problems. So the presence of the external energy diluting the living entities, that's what's causing the problem, and Bhagavatam's the solution. Anarto Pashamam Sakshad. So it's relevant to the discussion of the manifestation of the Bhagavatam to be talking about the external energy. Sarvika Puma. And then, okay, I'll get to you next.
So, in one sense, for Krishna's point of view, there is no difference between internal and external energy, because it's in any ways it's his energy. But from our point of view, we do have this difference because this Maya is Maya energy and external energy acts differently than the internal. So, in the case of Śrīla Vyāsadeva, he is self-realized soul, so he saw both energy. He didn't see it as one energy, but he saw how to reconcile it, as different manifestation, different work of the same energy, because he saw internal energy and he saw also external energy.
Right. But it's not, is it that...
What is it?
A liberated soul or God himself should not see the distinction? Because there is a distinction there. There's difference and non-difference. They are two different energies or two different functions. So there is a difference, and it's not that the Supreme Lord can't see the difference. He sees it. Yeah, if he's going to be keeping himself away from one of his energies, he must notice that it's different. So it's not that the Lord and his pure devotees don't see the difference. It's not that there isn't any difference, but there's also sameness.
But when, for example, in this case, Visham Purna Sukhayate and so on, this verse that pure devotee, he sees every sin as Krishna's mercy, as manifestation of his internal energy, and it really...
Krishna's mercy also manifests through his other energy. Krishna manifests his mercy the hard way for the rebellious souls through the external energy. So this pure devotee sees it all to be Krishna's mercy, but he doesn't see that everybody's happy. If the pure devotee thinks, because he may be a Paramahamsa, he's thinking everybody's happy, everybody's a better devotee than me, but that Paramahamsa isn't going to be interested in preaching. If he thinks everybody's better than him, he'll be asked to be preached to. But in reality, a Paramahamsa who's living in the material world and has any connection with it, isn't just his head totaling the clouds, he's going to see that other living entities are suffering. And he's going to make the distinction. There's no way to be useful as a preacher unless you see the distinction.
Yes, but in relation to himself, he must see everything as manifestation of Krishna's mercy. He sees that what happens with him is not Maya, but it's Yoga Maya, that Krishna is intervening.
Well, I don't know.
Mood.
I mean, do I have to see...
Is it so?
Well, here's Vyasadeva, okay? He's not only a pure, he's an incarnation. And he's seeing the distinction. His business is to preach. Even if God has to preach, he has to. Krishna, when he speaks the Bhagavad Gita, he's talking about distinctions. He's distinguishing the demigod worshippers against his worshippers and the materialists against the spiritualists. He's making a lot of distinctions in the Gita.
He's talking about them. He must be seeing them. He must be thinking about them and aware of them in order to describe them. That's the personality of Godhead. And Vyasadeva is the incarnation of the personality of Godhead. He sees the distinctions. There's no helping the living entities. There's no preaching work unless you come down and see the distinctions.
Maybe how to make a disconnection, maybe he may see that it's not only Maya, but he may see that it's Krishna's Maya.
Oh, yeah.
That Krishna is behind this Maya. And
of course.
Through his Maya, Krishna tries to change these living entities.
Yes, because the pure devotee sees that this horrible Maya is actually an expansion of Srimati Radharani. He's not afraid of the Maya for himself. He's not afraid of the Maya. He's not afraid of being affected by the Maya. But he respects her as what she is and is concerned for those who are under her control.
Maybe it's like Srila Prabhupada, he gives this example of cat which carries a mouse and which carries this kittens in her mouth.
Yes.
Like in the same way for devotee, Maya becomes not so dangerous, but for materialist it's very dangerous.
Yes. Okay. But we're in the position of someone who is being carried, you know, as a kitten in the mouth, but we're also feeling sorry for the mice and trying to help them. Okay, anything else before we stop? Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Well, the non-difference that he was trying to say, I think there are some places where Prabhupada writes that if Krishna being Krishna, if he wants, he can change the internal energy into the external energy and the external energy into the internal energy. I think in terms of the functions that they perform when Krishna, if so desires, you know, in that sense, there's no difference, I guess. But in general, there is a difference.
Yes. Okay. In the very ultimate sense, in that Krishna could obliterate the difference, but could, not that he actually does it. Krishna maintains the difference, even though he doesn't have to, but he does. Because the difference, the existence of the deluding energy serves Krishna's purpose, his benevolent purpose. Not that he has some diabolical or cruel plan, but it's part of his compassionate plan, the presence and the influence of Maya. So he lets it go on. He doesn't have to, but he does. Yes. We got a couple of hands there, yes? I can hear him. I can hear him. Okay, we're recording it, so we need you to speak in the microphone.
Prabhupada gives the example of electrical energy being utilized by the expert electrician, sometimes for heating and sometimes for cooling.
Yes.
Could you explain that? Maybe that's a confusion that Prabhupada describes as the same energy sometimes creating a hot
effect. The electrician knows how to turn a refrigerator into a heater and vice versa. The same energy. It's just the same energy functioning differently. When a rebellious living entity stops rebelling, then it's not that Krishna's energy doesn't stop acting and something else happens. Krishna's energy continues to act, but it doesn't appear in its gruesome face anymore. It transforms. It appears to transform into the internal energy. Actually, both are there all the time. But the external energy steps back and lets the internal energy take over. Okay. Who else has hands up? We're running, we're over time. I don't know what we're going to do about the next class. Yes? What is it? Where does it say it?
The satisfaction of loving reciprocations with herself in her original form as Srimati Radharani.
Yes.
She satisfies him through her unlimited spiritual expansions.
Yes.
That join each of these expanded forms of Godhead. And she satisfies him with the liberated jivas through their devotional service. So does this mean that the liberated jivas are expansions of herself, or she engages them in devotional
service? No, the point is that devotional service is her expansion. Bhakti is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Okay. The jivas are participating in bhakti. That doesn't make them shaktis. They're still jivas. Okay, I think we'll stop this class. We'll continue the next class at 25 after. Give a break. Okay, 10-minute break, and then we'll continue the next class, okay? 25. Let's make it 14 minutes. At 25 after, we'll start the Kavya class. Try to be here on time. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Tattva Sandarbha Kija.